Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Israeli troops are battling Hezbollah militants inside Lebanon after launching what they say are limited ground operations there, the region bracing for further escalation as Israel vowed to retaliate for Iran's ballistic missile attack yesterday. With us now, CBS military analyst, retired Colonel Jeff McCausland. Thank you so much for being with us this morning.
Megan, it's good to be with you.
Looking at this situation, how much would you expect the conflict between Iran and Israel to escalate?
Well, certainly I think it will escalate. How much and in what time frame is the question. Last time when the Iranians made an attack on Israel in April, the Israelis waited about a week before they retaliated. And they did it in kind of a minimal fashion, striking a facility close to a nuclear research site for the Iranians and an air defense site. I think it was more to demonstrate capability than it was to do damage. The attack by Iran yesterday against Israel was certainly one seeking to do damage. Targets were a couple of airfields in the head of Mossad headquarters in Tel Aviv. And one can only imagine the reaction if any one of those missiles had gotten through and struck in a large residential apartment or something like that and inflicted large numbers of casualties, which gladly it did not occur. So I think the response by Israel this time will be larger. I think it'll be quicker than that week. And then the other question is, to what degree will the United States be involved? Certainly the U.S. is going to be involved in defending Israel. Certainly in defense of American military personnel in the region, about 40,000, and perhaps also helping to evacuate American civilians, which are in substantial numbers in Lebanon. But whether the United States will immediately become directly involved in assisting the Israelis in an attack on Iran, now that remains to be seen.
We saw the Iron Dome yesterday, the defense technology. What can you describe the strength of the Israeli military as well, what we're seeing here?
Well, the Israeli military is far superior to the Iranian military, and they know that. And Iran, I think, is a weakened position. Their principal proxy in the region, Hezbollah, has been badly damaged. The Israeli defense system, as you suggest, Iron Dome, which is a combination of several different systems varying on altitude. The Arrow missile, for example, was used primarily against these ballistic missiles because of the altitude. Some of the other weapons are used for lower-level systems like drones or perhaps cruise missiles. But, you know, very capable military force. But the Israelis have an awful lot of war right now. They have at least four fronts. Let's tick them off. They've got Lebanon, where they're invading on the ground, a massive air campaign ongoing. They have the Gaza Strip, in which there is still fighting going on there, and the Israelis conducted a large airstrike just overnight there. They have a front with the Houthis down in Yemen who have fired several missiles in the direction of Tel Aviv over the last week or so. They basically have a front to their east now, which is a combination of Shiite militia groups supported by Iran in Iraq who have launched missiles and drones against Israel, as well as perhaps now Iran itself. And then finally, they have a front, you might say, on the West Bank where there are 3 million Palestinians and there are an awful lot of tension. Seven people were killed in a shooting at a bus station in that area last night, just as these particular missiles were raining down on Tel Aviv. So you got a lot of war there, and your resources then may be somewhat stretched thin, and that may also figure into the calculation of what and when the Israelis do.
We're speaking with CBS military analyst Jeff McCausland. Jeff, talk to us about the role and the position of some of the neighbors in that region, Iraq, Syria, Turkey, Saudi Arabia. How do they view all of this and what would their involvement be?
Well, in varying degrees, okay. Obviously, the axis of resistance headed by Iran, which includes the Syrian government to a degree, Hezbollah, certainly, Hamas, Houthis, et cetera, are all part of on the Iran side and obviously very upset by the death of Hassan Nasrallah, the head of Hezbollah, and the attacks by Israel now into Lebanon. But you have to understand as well, there are a lot of people in Lebanon, certainly in Syria, certainly in Iran itself, who weren't at all disappointed to see Hassan Nasrallah die. The Hezbollah had operated in Syria in support of President Assad during the civil war, committed massive atrocities to many Syrians. many people in Iran certainly oppose the regime, certainly oppose Hassan Nasrallah, because they think that Iran's posture in the world has affected them in a negative fashion. Think about it. Right now, it's estimated inflation in Iran is about 40%. About 25% of people under 25 are unemployed. And then there's been social unrest in Iran, most notably over women's issues and the wearing of the hijab and religious police arresting women and harassing women in the streets of Tehran and elsewhere. So that's kind of mixed. Saudis, anything that goes wrong in Iran is a happy day if you're in Saudi Arabia or you're in the United Arab Emirates. So while they may not publicly, celebrate these things that the leadership in, quietly, trust me, they're kind of delighted to see that happen. And they're waiting to see, is this a moment, frankly, where the whole geopolitical landscape in the region might well change? Are we at that kind of an inflection point?
Let's go back to the beginning when we were asking about the possibility of this escalating. When Benjamin Netanyahu says that they will pay, what could that potentially mean?
Well, it could be a host of things. Could be, again, a larger missile response like they did the last time. They could do something internally. They've demonstrated their ability to penetrate. This scares the Iranians a great deal. Ismail Haniyeh, who was a very prominent Hamas political figure, was assassinated in Tehran the day after he attended the inauguration of the new president, only about a month ago. So this tells the Iranians that the Israelis have the ability to penetrate on the ground right into the heart, if you will, in many ways, of the ruling party in Iran. So they might do something like that. This might be an opportunity where the Iranians say, or the Israelis say, we're going to take out or try to at least degrade substantially the Iranian nuclear development facilities. Obviously, the big concern in Israel has always been if Iran were to acquire a nuclear weapon. And many people believe, at least in terms of having the fissile materials to do that, they're relatively close. So might the Israelis mount an attack of missiles and aircraft that tried to destroy or at least degrade substantially that capability?
Jeff, finally, what could be the humanitarian toll if this continues in the region?
Huge. I mean, just consider that about 42,000 Palestinians are dead in the Gaza Strip alone. 90,000 are injured. 1.9 million of 2.2 million Palestinians in the Gaza Strip alone are displaced because of the fighting, air campaigns, now ground incursion in Lebanon. Another 500,000 people or more are displaced. Over 1,000 Lebanese have been killed. 6,000 have been injured just in the last week or so as Israel mounted this air campaign. And if we get in a tit-for-tat with ballistic missiles, we may not be lucky the next time in terms of intercepting them all, and you might see a ballistic missile strike a residential building in downtown Tel Aviv, for example. As horrible as that sounds, that's certainly not out of the realm of the possible. Even the interception of these missiles over an urban community is very dangerous because the debris coming down can also cause substantial damage. You know, I often say people forget that during the Gulf War back in 1991, the biggest loss of life, single loss of life for U.S. military forces in that conflict was actually a Scud missile, which was intercepted, and the debris rained down on a warehouse in a port facility in Saudi Arabia that was being used as a housing facility for American soldiers, and a substantial number were killed. That was from debris, not from a missile strike.
Retired Colonel Jeff McCausland joining us, CBS military analyst on KMOX. Thank you as always, sir.
Take care.
Postseason baseball is here, and it is the absolute best time of the year. I'm Rob Bradford of Baseballs and Boring, and we're going to have you covered every step of the way with instant reactions from players and coaches and managers and fans and reporters and everybody else who is immersed in this awesomeness and all the craziness that comes with October baseball. So follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.